This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to Friday's coverage of the trial of Alex Murdaugh. We are on day number 8 of our continued coverage. Let's take you right to the courtroom for the very beginning of testimony today.
Court is now in session. Judge Newman presiding.
Good morning. Next witness.
Your Honor, the state would call Jan Malinowski.
Supporting this trial shall be the truth, so help you God. State your name again for the record.
Yes, ma'am.
Spell your last name.
Jan Malinowski.
Mr. Malinowski, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. If you would, introduce yourself to the court just a little bit. Obviously, we're not in front of a jury, but just so the court knows who you are, tell us just a very quick history of how you got to your current position.
I'm currently the president and CEO of Palmetto State Bank, headquartered in Hampton. Started my banking career out of the Citadel, 1977. Went on to graduate school at the university. Upon completion of master's program in Columbia, joined the Wachovia Bank and Trust Company, went to Zurich, Switzerland. From there, went to Barnett Bank in Miami, Florida, and subsequently traveled Europe with the old Barnett. Moved to First Union National Bank in Savannah for a brief period of time, and then in February of 1991, joined Palmetto State Bank.
And currently you serve as the CEO, is that right?
That's correct.
And how long have you been the CEO?
Since August of last year.
All right. August of 2021?
Yes.
And who was the CEO prior to you?
Russell Lafitte.
And was he terminated not long before you became CEO?
Yes, he was.
Back in June of 2021, what was your role at that time?
I was executive vice president and responsible for branches in Beaufort. We have two branches in Beaufort.
All right. And were you also a member of the board of directors of the Palmetto State Bank?
At that time, yes.
Okay. And you mentioned that you were in charge of some branches in Beaufort. Could you explain just a little bit to the court about sort of how it operated then with the branches in Beaufort and the branches perhaps in Hampton or elsewhere, please?
Yes, sir. At the time, we were about a $700 million asset bank. We have seven branches, operated somewhat decentralized. I was given responsibility in 91 for the two offices in Beaufort, as I said, one in Burton location and one on Ladies Island. Other officers of the bank would be responsible for the other branches, Hampton being the main office, and then with Allendale, Fairfax, Estill and Bluffton.
Right. You say y'all are a little bit decentralized. Is it fair to say that for the most part you were primarily responsible for the operations in Beaufort and someone else was primarily responsible for the operations in the Hampton area?
Correct.
And who was primarily responsible for the operations in the Hampton area?
Russell Lafitte and his father, Charlie Lafitte.
And when you say somewhat decentralized, obviously there was a board of directors that looked at the institution as a whole.
Yes.
But in practice, there was kind of a deference to the local folks on scene, you being in Beaufort and the Lafitte's being in Hampton. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you to explain just a little bit, though, about the board of the directors and the executive committee. And again, if you could briefly describe to the court what those two entities are and how they operate so that we can understand the next questions.
Well, the board of directors of the bank has the absolute authority and responsibility to run the bank, but they delegate the day-to-day managerial responsibilities to officers. Charlie Lafitte was long-serving CEO and chairman. Russell, COO, subsequently became the CEO. I was executive vice president and ran the two branches. But board of directors would delegate the, as I said, the day-to-day control to the executive committee. and certain senior officers.
And when it came to authorizing loans, what was the role of the executive committee in authorizing certain loans? Was there a threshold, and how did that work?
There is a threshold. The board of directors would authorize individual loan officer, loan authorities on an annual basis, branch managers having a certain level of authority, and then executive officers having a higher loan authority, and then organizationally, two executive officers could approve a single loan or a up to X million dollars, and then once it got beyond the threshold for two executive officers, it would go on to the executive committee, which would review the loan request and either approve or deny any loan that exceeded $1.5 million.
At the time, in June of 2021 or thereabouts, in that area of the year, were you the secretary of the executive committee?
I was.
All right, and I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 354 to your testimony, and see if you recognize that document. And Your Honor, I have a copy for you. I provided one to the defense. Would you mind handing that to the judge for us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you recognize that document?
I do.
Tell me what that is, please.
It's the minutes of the executive committee of August 12th of 2021.
All right.
And a number of topics were discussed, but primarily the relationship of Richard Alexander Alec Murdoch.
All right.
And his total relationship with the bank.
All right. And this is on August 12th, 2021?
Correct.
Can I get the elbow, please? All right, so these are the minutes that you're referring to, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, and there's a discussion right there, including a reference to a memo that was distributed outlining the bank's relationship with Alec Murdoch, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And there's a reference also to the total indebtedness that Alec Murdoch had to the bank at that point in time.
Yes, sir. As of the day of that memo that was presented to the executive committee, Mr. Murdoch owed directly or indirectly $4.2
million. $4.2
million,
is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. I forgot to ask you this, but tell me real quick, when do the board typically meet and when does the executive committee typically meet?
The executive committee typically meets on the second Tuesday of every month, and the board meets on the third Tuesday of every month.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 385 to for the purposes of this in-camera hearing, and see if you recognize that document.
This is a copy of the minutes of the directors of Palmetto State Bank describing what took place at a board meeting on Tuesday, July 20, 2021.
All right. And who's the secretary that authored those minutes?
Gray Henderson.
Okay. And you were present as a board member for this discussion?
I was.
All right. And what's the date again on that particular one?
July 20, 2021.
July 20, 2021. At that time, was there any discussion or any record of a discussion of any loan to Alec Murdoch for $750,000?
No, sir, there is not.
All right. And again, that's July 20th, 2021?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, going back to this August 12, 2021, Executive Committee notes. I want to walk back just a little bit and tell me, did Alec Murdoch come up in any discussion among the board members prior to August 12, 2021?
Yes, it did.
Tell me about that, how that happened, please.
On August 9th, Norris Lafitte, a board member, sent an email to members of the Executive Committee and the board asking for a full accounting of Mr. Murdoch's relationship with the bank.
All right. And can you pull that mic just a little bit closer?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right. And what happened after that? Did that spark any particular activity?
Sparked quite a bit of activity, conversation, and then activity inside the bank that day.
All right. And explain that to the court. What happened?
Shortly after Norris Lafitte sent his email to members of the executive committee and the board, The deposit was made to Mr. Murdoch's account in the amount of $400,000, which cleared up an overdraft, a large overdraft, which had been in his account that day.
All right, and who caused that deposit to happen?
Russell Lafitte.
All right, and so there was a significant overdraft in Alec Murdoch's account?
On that day, yes, sir.
Was it over $350,000 overdraft?
Yes, sir.
And so Russell Lafitte caused a $400,000 to be deposited into his account?
Yes, sir.
And that was after the email from Norris Lafitte asking about Alec Murdoch on August the 9th.
Yes, sir.
All right. At that time, that Russell Lafitte caused $400,000 to be put into Alec's account to cover a over $350,000 overdraft, were there any loan documents or any sort of application or anything in existence supporting any such disbursement?
No, sir.
Just put the money in there?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned other activity. What other activity was sparked by that August 9th email?
There was some activity to create an application to go through our typical loan approval process through one of our software underwriting, one of our underwriting programs, software driven.
Okay. All right. And we're going to look at those documents here in a minute. All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked as State 356 and see if you recognize that.
This is a photocopy of a page 2 of a deposit checking account statement.
And that's
In the name of Richard Alexander Murdoch.
All right, and what does that reflect on August 6, 2021, what the balance was in his account?
Overdraft balance of $347,784.67.
And what happens on August 9th, 2021?
A deposit of $400,000 is made to this account.
All right, and we see after that there's a transfer to checking of $20,000 that's done as well?
Yes, sir.
And do you know what the purpose of that transfer was?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay. So right there on August 6, 2021, Alec's account was negative $347,000, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And then off the books, Russell Lafitte caused $400,000 to be put into his account, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's talk more about that. I'm gonna show you what's been marked as Exhibit 357 to your testimony and see if you recognize that.
This is a copy of minutes of the directors of Palmetto State Bank, dated August 17th, 2021.
Okay. And who was the secretary for these, do you know?
Gray Henderson.
Right. And were you present for these board meetings?
I was.
All right. And these minutes accurately reflect what was discussed at the board?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to turn over to the second page. And was there a discussion at that time about, and again, this is on August 17th, 2021, was there a discussion about loans to Richard Alexander Murdoch?
There was.
All right. And is there a reference there of Alec's intention to sell the farm?
Yes, there is.
All right. And then is there a reference in there to the extent of Alec's liability in total loans?
Yes, there is. $3,544,897.
All right. And was there then a discussion of additional loans that Alec had that had been charged off?
Yes, there were.
Okay. And very quickly, are you familiar with two entities called Zier United and Redbeard?
I am.
And are those entities associated with Alec Murdoch?
They are.
And are those loans that, in fact, the bank had charged off?
That's correct.
All right. And explain very quickly what a charge-off is without too much detail for these purposes.
Certainly. In a situation where a loan is deemed non-performing to the point where the bank's executive committee and or senior management decides that it's time to take it off the books, you charge it off. It's an accounting treatment, but it doesn't remove the obligation of the borrower, or in this case, members of the LLC, any legal obligation to repay the loan.
So Alec Murdoch was still on the hook, required to pay those loans, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And were there real properties associated with both of those loans?
Yes, sir.
And in the event Alec Murdoch had tried to sell those properties, would the bank expect to be paid any outstanding balance plus interest and all the rest of it?
Yes, sir.
And in fact, was Alec still paying on those notes even though they were charged off?
He had periodically, yes.
So the ultimate liability to the bank for Alec was somewhat larger if those are included, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
There's discussion in here about a $750,000 loan in this particular board discussion. Is that correct?
Yes, there is.
And this is on August 12th, 2021, I believe. Is that right?
The date? I think it's 17th.
Had you been aware of any sort of $750,000 loan to Alec Murdoch prior to these discussions coming up as you moved to the board meeting on August 17th, 2021?
Only to the extent that $750,000 loan had been referenced during the executive committee in the memo that was referred to in my executive committee minutes.
Which would have been shortly or a couple days before this, is that
yes,
correct?
Sir, preceding week.
All right. And at the time that the $400,000 had been dispersed back on August 9th, there was no loan paperwork in existence at that time, is that
no,
correct?
No, there was not.
All right. Was that the only disbursement made pursuant to this supposed $750,000 loan?
It was not the only disbursement.
All right. Well, stand by for me. First packet I gave you. I'll show you what's been marked as States 358 and see if you recognize that.
It's a wire request form on our standard documentation dated July 15, 2021. The Palmetto State's going to wire funds to South State Bank. The beneficiary of the wire is the Wilson Law Group, LLC, to their IOLTA account in the amount of $350,000.
$350,000 to the Wilson Law Group?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then what's the next page in this document?
Are the wiring instructions to the Wilson Law Group.
And does it have contact information?
Contact information is to Chris at WilsonLawGroupSC.com.
All right. And is that Chris Wilson, the lawyer South Carolina, in Bamberg, South Carolina,
As I currently understand, yes, sir.
All right. This is on July 15th, 2021.
Yes, sir.
$350,000 was wired to Chris Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Was there any documentation, loan application, any sort of paperwork whatsoever justifying Palmetto State Bank sending $350,000 to Chris Wilson?
No, sir.
All right. And whose benefit was this sent for?
Alec Murdoch's.
Alec Murdoch's. All right, let me ask you about this, and I'm going to put it up on the screen. And right now, there it says sender information, and what does that say right there, please?
Palmetto State Bank, LNOS.
All right, and can you explain very quickly what LNOS is, what that is?
It's an account the bank maintains. It's called Loans Not on System.
Okay. And should this wire have listed that as the sender?
No.
And explain that to the court, please.
Had loan documents been signed that day, the sender would have been the borrower on the loan. In this case, it would have been Alec Murdoch.
But that's not what was listed, is it?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Michelle Westwood Mark, just 359 to your testimony. Let me see if you recognize this document.
This is the customer copy of the cashier's check in the amount of $400,000 that was deposited to Alec Murdoch's checking account.
All right. And is there a sticky note on there, a copy of a sticky note?
Yes, sir, there is.
And what does it say, if you would, please?
It says Alec Murdoch, $750,000, one share of Green Swamp Inc. stock, and the date is 7/15/21.
Okay. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Got states 360 and 361. Just real quick, I'm going to show you those and see if you recognize those.
The top document is the checking deposit slip for credited to $400,000 to be credited to account 6940-6092. The account holder name is Alec Murdoch. The date is 8/9/2021. And then we see a copy of the cashier's check dated 8/9/2021 in the amount of $400,000.
All right, and then the next exhibit, 361.
Next exhibit is the debit to the loans not on system account in the amount of $400,000, which was the source for the cashier's check in the same amount.
And the date on those again?
8/9/2021.
That was the same day that Norris Lafitte sent an email to the board directors asking, making an inquiry about the bank's relationship with Alec Murdoch.
That's correct.
Just a couple more. You've already testified that there was no loan application or loan paperwork or anything like that supporting the bank disbursement already of a total of $750,000. Is that right?
That's correct.
And that was a wire in July 15th for $350,000 that went to Chris Wilson, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then a $400,000 disbursement on August 9th after Norris Lafitte sent his email to the board of directors.
Yes, sir.
That covered a negative $347,000 overdraft in Alec's account.
That's correct.
A little bit extra for some walking around money, another $50K or so, correct?
I can't answer that.
All right. I'm going to show you what's been marked as it states 362 and see if you recognize that.
This is a copy of a promissory note, commercial single advance, loan number 6996048 in the amount of $750,750. Note dated 7/15/2021.
Just real quick, what's the $750 for?
That's a note fee we charge.
A note fee?
Yes, sir.
$750 for a $750,000 loan?
Yes, sir.
Is that typical?
Possibly in the Hampton office, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to let you hold that one for a second. Look at the back page and tell me, is that application signed?
Yes, it is signed.
Who was it reportedly signed by?
Richard Alexander Murdoch.
And what is the date on that application?
The date on the note is July 15, 2021.
All right. And is that the same day as that wire to Chris Wilson?
Yes, sir.
Have you had a chance to examine that document and look at the records of the entity for which you're the chief executive officer?
I have.
Have you had a chance to look at the loan number?
I have.
And are those loan numbers sequentially generated by your system?
They are.
And in looking at that loan number, is there any way that document could have even been in existence in July of 2021?
No, sir.
And in fact, it had to have been generated after the August 9th email and after these disbursements. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. I'll show you 363. Just give me one second while I put this on the screen. And just real quick, can you see that on the screen?
Yes, sir.
Is that the loan number, the sequential loan number you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
And then that's the signature and the date that you're talking about?
That's correct.
All right, that last exhibit I just handed to you, can you tell me the number on the back of it?
6996048.
I'm sorry, I was talking about that number. 363, states 363. No, that was my job. I was asking you to do my job. All right, tell me what that document is, please.
It's a business purpose statement.
All right, and?
It accompanied the loan, 6996048.
And what is the supposed purpose for the loan that's listed on that?
Business expenses.
Okay. See that? And again, this document's also dated 7/15/21.
That's correct.
All right. But is this the kind of document that also would be generated along with the application that we just saw?
It would in the note documentation system, yes, sir.
All right. The application that you said could not have existed in July of 2021.
That's correct.
Let me go back. We had a reference to the board minutes. From August 17th, 2021. And there was some discussion of this particular loan at that board board meeting, is that correct?
Yes, there was.
And there had been discussion at the executive committee meeting a little bit prior to that, is that correct?
That's correct.
What was your understanding at that time from those meetings, what the collateral was, supposedly, for this new $750,000 loan?
It'd be a mortgage on Edisto Beach House and a share of Green Swamp stock.
And is that the Green Swamp that was referred to on the sticky note that we saw earlier?
Yes, sir.
And what is your understanding, though, as things developed as to whether or not that collateral actually was able to be used for this particular loan?
Certainly the second mortgage did not exist or was not placed on the property. The property was in the name of Mrs. Murdoch.
Okay. And what about the Green Swamp? Was that already collateralized?
It was cross-collateralized with other loans.
Right. So this loan was heavily under-collateralized, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
There's been some discussion about whether or not an appraisal had been ordered prior to June of 2021 for this supposed $750,000 loan. Was there an appraisal that had been ordered prior to June of 2021 on the Edisto property?
There was.
Did that have anything at all to do with some sort of loan for an additional $750,000?
No, sir.
And I'm going to show you what's been marked as states 364 and see if you recognize that document. It's an email, but there's an attachment.
Email from Chastity Malfrus to Charles Lafitte III, who's the bank's appraisal officer, referencing 3606 Big Bay Drive, Edisto. And it's an appraisal request form dated April 22, 2021. The intended use of the appraisal is for a refinance.
Okay.
And the balance is $200,000.
All right, and so it's for a refinance. Explain what the refinance was for, if you could, to the court.
At the time, the mortgage had matured, or the mortgage loan had matured, and we needed to renew it.
All right. It had already matured, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So this was an existing debt, not any sort of new debt, and so the appraisal was because you have to renew this note that had already matured, correct?
Yes, sir.
Or it has to be paid off, one of the two.
Correct.
All right.
approach?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 365 and see if you recognize that document.
This was the memo summarizing, or this is a copy of the memo that summarizes the relationship of Alec Murdoch with the bank. It was prepared and presented at the executive committee meeting.
Okay. Again, I'm going to put that up on the screen, but this lists some of the indebtedness that Alec had to the bank that you previously described earlier.
Yes, sir.
And including the Zero United with outstanding $307,761.
Yes, sir.
And then it outstanding and charged off not only Zero United, but also $362,896 for Redbeard.
Yes, sir.
Few more. I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 366 and see if you recognize that document.
It's a document produced from our loan accounting system, and it lists all the notes, outstanding notes, in the name of Alec Murdoch, and also co-borrower with his father, Randolph Murdoch III.
All right, and that it lists the balances on those particular loans as of June 7th, 2021?
That's correct.
It does not include, though, the charged-off loans, Zero United and Redbeard, is that correct?
That's correct.
So on the first one, is that the balance right there, $104,119.80?
That's the principal owed, yes, sir.
That's the principal owed. These are not deposits, correct?
That's correct.
Owed by who?
I think for the $104,000 was Williams Islands.
Right. But I mean, what borrower owed those?
That would have been Mr. Murdoch, Alec Murdoch, yes.
All right. And then this next one, what's the balance on that? How much is owed for this loan?
$806,666.26.
The next one, how much is owed for this loan?
$195,171.64.
How much is owed for this loan?
$999,650.94.
And this is actually a $1 million line of credit, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
It's pretty much maxed out, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And then finally, this one right here. What's the balance on that?
$91,368.90.
Okay. Just a few more. Last set of documents here. I'm going to show you what's been marked as States. Stand by for me real quick. Thank you. All right, I'm going to show you States 367 and see if you recognize that document.
It's a copy of a bank statement, Alec Murdoch farm account.
And what is the balance of that on June 7th, 2021?
June 7th, 2021 shows a deficit balance of $2,458.23.
Negative balance?
Yes, sir.
Show you what's been marked as 368, and do you recognize that?
Again, it's a checking account statement, account Richard Alexander Murdoch for account 6092.
All right, continue. You can tell me what the balance was on June 7th, 2021.
$2,185.23.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 369, and see if you recognize that.
This is a again, statement for a health savings account, 3094, in the name of Richard Alexander Murdoch.
All right, and what's the balance on that?
$7,540.61.
Right. And that's a health savings account?
Yes, sir.
Can that be used for any purpose or only for legitimate medical purposes?
I think the latter, the medical purposes.
I'll show you what's been marked as States 370 and see if you recognize that.
Again, a bank statement, copy of a bank statement in the name of Alec Murdoch, account number 6649. And the balance on 67 would have been $62,115.06.
All right, and then finally 371, if you could tell me if you recognize that.
This is a account statement, interest checking account in the name of Margaret Maggie Murdoch and Alex Murdoch, number 5109, and the balance on 67, $3,900.04.
I have a couple more questions for you, for the purposes of this hearing at least. It's fair to say that of June 2021 and the months after, the indebtedness to Palmetto State Bank from Alec Murdoch was very, very large.
Yes, sir.
And it's fair to say it also had charged off loans in the past, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
If it had come out at any particular time, from let's say 2010 on up to June of 2021, or at any time, that Alec Murdoch had been stealing money from his partners or stealing money from his clients, would this bank have continued to loan him money?
No, sir.
Nothing further at this time, Your Honor.
I have a defense.
Yes, Your Honor, briefly. Just to be clear, Mr. Malinowski, on June 7th, 2021, Mr. Murdoch was not overdrawn at Palmetto State Bank, correct?
No, sir. Well, June 7?
Yes, sir.
Do you have his bank statement?
Well, we just went through them.
Right.
Well, there was one statement, the farm account was minus $2,045. There was another account that was plus $2,185, according to Exhibit 368. His health savings account, Exhibit 369, had $7,540. Exhibit 370 had a positive balance of $62,000 and some change. And then Maggie's account, Exhibit 371, had $3,904. So,
yes, sir.
So there's one account that was
overdrawn
for $2,000, but positive balances in all the other.
Yes, sir.
And Alec Murdoch had been a customer of Palmetto State Bank for many, many years. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And had he ever, ever been denied a request from Palmetto State Bank for a line of credit or a loan up until September of 2021?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay. And in July of 2021, apparently he got a $750,000 loan that was approved according to documents here by three members of the board of directors. Do you remember that? Let's see if I can find that. Can you see the highlighted language there?
I can see the highlighted language, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And this is from, let's be sure we know what we're talking about. Minutes of the Board of Directors meeting, August 17th, 2021. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And here, says Charles, Chairman Lafitte reviewed the loans to Richard Alexander Murdoch. Russell Lafitte stated that his intention is to sell the farm. We have mortgages on the properties that supersede the property being transferred into Maggie's name. Now, what does that mean? Tell me about that. You have mortgages on the property that superseded the property being transferred to Maggie's name. Do you remember that?
I guess it would reference the mortgages, the date of the mortgage and the date they were recorded on previous loans.
So at some point in time, Alec transferred the Moselle property into Maggie's name.
It's my understanding, yes.
And before that date, your bank already had a mortgage on the property?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Moselle property?
Or Evanston.
Are we talking about Moselle property here?
If you're referring to the farm, I'm assuming he's referring to Moselle. Yes, sir.
Okay. Then at the last sentence of this paragraph, it says, Elizabeth Malinowski commented the $750,000 loan did not appear to have been approved by the executive committee. Russell Lafitte explained that three of the five members approved the loan. Do you recall that?
I recall it, yes, sir.
And who are the three of the five members of the executive committee that approved the loan?
It would have been Charlie Lafitte, Gray Henderson, and Russell Lafitte.
And do you recall Charlie Lafitte telling you at some point in time, maybe around in here or even before, that if Alec Murdoch wanted to receive a loan from the bank, that he would get it?
That was Mr. Lafitte's opinion, yes.
And who was Mr. Lafitte in relation to the bank in June of 2007?
2007?
Excuse me, June 7th, 2021.
He was the chairman of the bank.
Okay. And was Russell Lafitte related to Mr. Lafitte?
His son.
Okay. And who are the members of the executive committee?
The executive committee, Charlie Lafitte, Gray Henderson, Russell Lafitte, Scott Swain, and myself.
And so Mr. Lafitte, Mr. Charlie Lafitte's opinion was if Alec Murdoch wanted a loan from the bank, he would get it.
That was his opinion.
And On the $750,000 loan he was provided, apparently without a lot of paperwork done on the front end, but it was approved by Mr. Lafitte, his son, Russell Lafitte, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And his daughter, Gray Henderson, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you mentioned that there was some, in June of 2021, there was some $4.2 million or something outstanding. I don't have the exact number, but maybe we can find that. Do you know how much was secured and unsecured in when you reviewed the indebtedness?
Do you have a document I can refer to?
I'm trying to find it. I'm going to put it on the screen here. We may be talking about the same document we looked at, and I have the highlighted language. It says here, let's just refer to the, it says Norris Lafitte had found a mathematical error which will be corrected to $3,544,897 total loans. And those are total loans to Mr. Murdoch, is that correct?
According to another memo that came.
Okay, so as to this amount, how much was it all secured?
Without seeing the memo, I couldn't tell. If you've got the memo, I'll certainly go down the loans.
I don't have the memo. I only have what I was provided. Does this memo set forth the collateral for the indebtedness to Mr. Murdoch? And I am referring to Exhibit 365.
Can you pull down that memo? There we go. Thank you.
Can you read that?
Yes, sir.
Zooming in without putting too many shadows on it. And so we went through that. Is that the collateral for those loans?
As stated in the memo, yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that some loans have been written off. Are you aware that Mr. Murdoch was still paying on the loans that had been written off?
Yes, sir, I was.
And you mentioned that had Mr. Murdoch always paid the bank interest, monies he owed? And did he ever go in default? And let's put it like, did he ever go in default on any notes issued to him by Palmetto State Bank?
Red Beard and Zero United.
And those were the ones that were written off?
Yes, sir.
But he continued to pay those, correct?
He periodically made payments, yes, sir.
Are you aware that on the day
Maggie Murdoch was, well, Maggie Murdoch was murdered sometime the night of June the 7th. Are you aware that she was scheduled to meet your appraiser at Edisto on June the 8th?
No, sir.
The Moselle property was titled in Maggie Murdoch's name in June of 2021, correct?
I believe that's correct.
The bank had filed mortgages on the property that predated whenever that was transferred to Ms. Murdoch, right?
Yes, sir.
The Edisto Beach House was titled in jointly in Alec Murdoch and Maggie Murdoch's names, correct?
At one point.
Before her death?
I believe it was in her name solely at the time of her death.
You do? Are you sure about that?
I believe so.
Okay. And what information are you relying upon to say that?
Looking at the Colleton County deed records.
One second, Your Honor. Undergo routine FDIC audits, Palmetto State Bank?
Yes, sir.
And had Mr. Murdoch's relationship with the bank ever been flagged in any audit conducted by the FDIC or their contract auditors?
To my knowledge, no.
That's all the questions I have, Your Honor.
Mr. Malinowski, just a few more questions. May it please the court. Get 365 back that we were just looking at. This is that memo that was prepared for the board meetings, correct?
This was the one that was prepared for the executive committee.
And what does it say right there at the bottom, the purpose that's being reported that the $750,000 is for?
To remodel of the house in Edisto.
Does it say anything about sending $350,000 to Chris Wilson to try to make up the funds that he had diverted from his law firm?
No, sir.
Does it say anything about $400,000 to cover a $347,000 overdraft?
No, sir.
After June 7th, was the first significant activity from the bank to Alec to provide that $350,000 off the books with no application whatsoever?
Yes, sir.
And after June the 7th, did his account run to negative $347,000?
Yes, sir.
And the bank kept paying?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps the most generous overdraft policy ever seen?
Quite possibly.
You were asked a little bit about Zero United and Redbeard, which are up on the screen. The bank did not foreclose on those properties, is that correct?
That is correct.
So Alec Murdoch still owned those properties, correct?
He and partners, yes, sir.
All right, but if he were to try to sell them, could he have sold them without having to account to the bank?
He would have had to pay back the monies he had borrowed from the bank.
And we see that we up on that screen, what happened to Mike Luke? If he had tried to sell those properties, would he have just had to pay the bank those amounts listed there, or could it potentially be much higher than that?
Potentially much higher.
And explain to the court very quickly why it could be much higher than that, that he would have to satisfy before he could sell those properties.
There would be accrued interest and any late charges and fees that accumulated since the date of the charge-off.
Once y'all charged it off, it no longer was accruing interest and penalties and fees on the books, at least, correct?
Yes, sir.
But if you were to, if he was to try to sell that property and the buyer came to you or to see how much they needed to pay y'all out of the proceeds before title could transfer, y'all would go back and look at all that interest that hadn't been paid over that time.
Yes, we'd provide a payoff statement which would have included principal, accrued interest or lost interest to that date, and any late fees and charges.
And he would be unable to sell those properties and transfer title until some arrangement was reached with the bank.
Yes, sir.
We just, you were just asked about whether or not Maggie was going to be meeting an appraisal at the Edisto property, but you've testified in no uncertain terms that appraisal was to renew the mortgage that was already in existence that had matured, correct?
Yes, sir.
It had nothing to do with a new 750.
Yes, sir.
We just talked about the negative $347,000 overdraft policy, correct?
Yes, sir.
In 2 months, his account had went to negative $347,000.
Yes, sir.
If it had come out that Alec Murdoch had been diverting fees from his law firm, if Alec Murdoch had been forced to resign from his law firm, if it had come out that he had been misappropriating money from his clients, would the bank have continued to pay charges coming in on that account?
No, sir.
Nothing?
No, sir.
No uncertain terms about that?
No uncertain terms.
So all this testimony about the relationship in the bank, if the truth had come out, it's a new ball game, correct?
Yes, sir.
And in the wake of all of this, Russell Lafitte was terminated and you became CEO, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And now there's a new sheriff in town at Palmetto State Bank, correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Just briefly, Mr. Malinowski, how much in interest did Alec Murdoch pay to Palmetto State Bank over the years?
I don't know.
It's excess of $4 million, isn't it?
I don't have a figure.
Thank you.
You may step down.
Thank you.
Let me call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll stand just a moment while that next witness is coming.
The state calls Tony Satterfield.
Raise your right hand, left hand, and right. Do you affirm the testimony about to give the court in this trial so give the truth so help you God?
Yes.
Say the seat in the witness stand. State your name again for the record. Spell your last name.
My name is Michael Satterfield. My last name is spelled S-A-T-T-E-R-F-I-E-L-D.
How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
All right, pull that mic to you just a little bit close so we can hear you good. How old are you?
I'm 33.
All right, where do you work?
I work at Beaufort Memorial Hospital.
Okay. And where'd you grow up?
In Hampden.
Okay. For the purposes of this hearing, we're just on a hearing in front of the judge to determine the admissibility of some testimony, so I'm just going to ask you a few questions, not everything I might ask you if we were in front of the jury. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Speak up for us because the court reporter and everybody needs to hear you. Who was your mother?
Gloria Satterfield.
Gloria Satterfield?
Yes.
And is Gloria still with us?
She's not.
And when did she pass?
February 26, 2018. Yes, sir.
And who did she work for when she passed?
Alec and Maggie Murdoch.
Okay. And do you know Alec Murdoch?
I do.
Do you see him here in the courtroom today?
I do.
Can you point him out?
Yes, right there.
Okay. Your Honor, can the record reflect he's identified the defendant?
surveillance and camera.
Yeah, where is he? Where is he?
What was that, sir? I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Point him out again, if you would, please.
Right there.
Right.
Can you tell me what jacket he's wearing?
A navy blue jacket.
Okay. It does.
Thank you, Your Honor.
How long did your mom, roughly, how long did she work for Alec? Do you know?
I had to take an estimate, I guess, 20-something years, maybe, give and take. I don't know that years.
Okay. And slide up just a little bit more. Talk right into that mic. There you go. Just a little bit. Need to get up on the mic so we can hear you. All right. What did your mom do for Alec?
She was their housekeeper. She babysat for them. She cleaned their house and kind of anything else they kind of need.
Okay. And she had been doing that for a long time?
Yes.
During the course of that, you got to know Alec and his family to some extent as well?
Yes.
Did you trust Mr. Murdoch?
Yes.
What happened to your mom?
She fell and hit her head.
Okay. And where was she when that happened?
She was at Allison's house in Moselle.
In Moselle?
Yes.
Did she pass right away or did she live for a while?
She lived for a few weeks.
Was she ever able to say to you what happened, how she fell or anything?
No, she would not.
After she passed, did you have any conversation with Alec about what to do about it?
I did.
And what was the conversation you had with Alec?
I barely remember, but it's like, let me go after my insurance company for this or whatever, kind of get these medical bills and stuff paid.
Okay. So he said he was going to go after his insurance company?
Yes.
And get medical bills for your mom paid?
Yes.
Did he say he might get any of that money for you and your brother?
Yes.
Did he say how much that might be?
No.
Ultimately, was there a lawsuit filed?
Yes.
Right. And who did you consider your lawyer was in all of this?
Alex.
At some point in time, did he bring another lawyer in?
Yes.
And what did he tell you about that?
He said, if I understood it correctly, I can't do it myself because conflict of interest. I'm going to send you to my buddy, Corey Fleming.
Corey Fleming?
Yes.
Did he tell you anything about his relationship with Corey Fleming other than they were buddies?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did he tell you anything more about his relationship with Corey Fleming?
No.
After he brought in Corey Fleming, were you still communicating directly with Alec about the case?
Yes.
Who did you think your lawyer was?
Alex.
The whole time?
Yes.
Did he ever bring in a person, or did they ever bring in a person by the name of Chad?
Yes.
And you remember Chad's last name?
Westendorf.
Okay. And what did they tell you about Chad?
That he should be my PR.
Your PR?
Yes.
Did you ever meet with Chad?
Yes.
Did you meet with him a lot or just?
One time I can think of.
Okay. Alec told you that he was going after his insurance company. Did he say how much that insurance was?
One of them that I know of was like $500,000 and that's the only one.
That's the only one he told you about?
Yes.
Did he ever tell you that there was also an umbrella policy worth upwards of $5 million?
No.
Never mentioned that to you, did he?
No.
We'll show you what's been marked as States 372 to your testimony and just have you take a look at that. And do you recognize that document?
Yes.
And tell me what that is.
That is a cover sheet that I faked that I sent him, Alex.
Okay. And what's the reason that you sent that to Alec?
I got something from the trailer company and a medical bill, I believe, and I just wanted to be sure what I needed to do with it.
You had received some paperwork about your mom?
It was a bill.
It was a bill?
Yeah.
And who did you send that to?
Alex Murdoch, or the law firm.
All right. And why did you send it to Alec Murdoch?
Because he said if we got any medical bills, just forward them to him, and I didn't know if I needed to do anything with it.
Because you thought he was your lawyer?
Yes.
All right. And this had your phone number on there, but we blacked it out, correct?
Yes.
As time went on, did you have conversations with Alec asking him about the case and what was going on with the case or anything like that?
Yes. Not very rarely, but every few months or so.
And what would he tell you just generally over the
first it was hard-hearted, it was making progress, and he kind of left it at that.
He said it was hard, but they were making progress?
Yes.
Did he tell you anything about whether or not you and your brother were to get any money after the medical bills were paid?
Said he was hoping.
Right. Did he give you any idea of the amount?
If I remember correctly, one time he said he was trying to get each of you at least $100,000 apiece.
Each of you, yes. You and your brother?
Yes.
Okay. At some point in time, did your family advise you that there was some media reporting about a settlement in the case?
Yes.
All right. And at that time, had you heard anything from Alec or Corey or Chad or anybody about a settlement in the case?
No.
Right. And what, if anything, did you do after your family? Did they ask you to do anything?
Yeah, they said you might want to kind of follow up on it and kind of see.
And did you make a phone call to Alec?
Yes.
Right. And what month was that in?
I believe the last time I talked to him was in June of 21.
June of 21?
Yes.
Around the time of the murders?
Yes.
And what did you ask him?
I can't believe what I asked him, but it was still making progress and be ready to settle, you know, by the end of the year.
He told you it was still making progress and he was hoping to settle by the end of the year?
Yes.
Did he tell you that they had already gotten a settlement for $500,000 and $5,000?
No.
Did he tell you that they had already gotten a settlement for $3.8 million?
No.
Had he ever told you that there was an umbrella policy for $5 million?
No.
Did he ever mention to you anything about Forge?
No.
Did he mention anything to you about structuring any settlement?
No.
Did you give him permission to steal your money?
No.
Ultimately, in the wake of all of this, you've come to find out that there was a settlement for $505,000, correct?
Yes.
And it was diverted by Alec Murdoch, correct?
Yes.
And ultimately, you've come to find out that there was a settlement under the umbrella policy for $3.8 million, is that correct?
Yes.
Or thereabouts, correct?
Yes.
And a large proportion of that was diverted by Alec Murdoch, is that right?
Yes.
Did you ever get 1 cent from Alec Murdoch when he was still, before all of this happened?
No.
And it took, after this happening, and it took a legal process for that to happen, is that right?
Yes.
And ultimately, is it your understanding that he confessed judgment to taking money for both of those, is that right? In June of 2021, you made a call to him asking the status of this case, is that correct?
I can't remember if he called me or if I called him, but yes, I talked to him in June 2021.
You talked to him in June of 2021?
Yes.
And there were reports in the media about that settlement, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. And please answer any questions the defense has, okay?
By the defense.
Morning, I'm sorry.
Morning.
Long week. You had a family member who saw an article in somewhere. Do you remember where the article was published?
I don't remember exactly where they found it at or seen it at.
Okay, but after that article was published, that's when you started making inquiries and you contacted Mr. Murdoch?
Yes, once they seen the article or whatever, they were like, you need to follow up on it. And yes, and I can't remember if he called me or if I called him.
And did you... Do you know whether you called him on the cell phone?
It was on his cell phone. Normally, that's how I called him, yes.
So you called him on the cell phone?
Yes.
Okay, and his cell phone record would reflect... How many times did you call him?
What was that?
How many times did you call him?
Like, once, twice, three. We talked like 3 or 4 times, you know, throughout the whole year, if I remember correctly.
Okay. And when you called him after reading some article about a settlement, do you know if that was before or after Maggie and Paul were murdered?
It was around the time, but I don't remember if it was before or after.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Nothing further, Your Honor. Thank you. You may step down.
Your Honor, can we have just a very quick break to get the exhibits ready for that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
We'll take 5 minutes or so.
That wraps up our first segment of coverage for you in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. Much more to come. Be sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of our courtroom coverage and breaking updates on the case. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.